Thank you for joining us for this edition of Psychedelic Breakthrough Addiction Therapies. I'm your host, Deborah Nash. Today's episode, I am very excited to present to our listeners. We are going to be discussing psychedelics and virtual reality technologies with two of my most favorite collaborators who I've had the opportunity to work with over the past year. And we are going to have some exciting information to share with you. And we're going to learn a little bit about the human brain and not only the transformative aspects of psychedelics to treat serious mental health disorders, but also about the parallels with the VR, virtual reality technology. And today I have with me Shell Mann co-founder, a man with decades of experience in VR technology, gaming, and gaming software development, Shell Mann, who's here. Shell, thank you for joining me today on our podcast. And also we have with us Marguerite Monteau-Rao. She is a licensed clinical social worker, holds an MBA, and is the chief clinical officer at Firefly. Marguerite is unique in her experience as well, because she is the clinical product leader with over 10 years of innovation in digital therapeutics and medical XR. She has trailblazed product discovery and is really a thought leader, a scientist and a thought leader in this space. And I'm really looking forward to having her talk with you today on our podcast. The Firefly team has really worked, they're leaders, I would say, from my knowledge of this field and the space, that they really bring incredible understanding of the problem in society today that we have around serious mental health disorders. And as many of our listeners know, things are getting worse. At a societal level, we have millions of people affected with depression, and it's estimated that around 14% of our young adults and teenagers suffer from depression and anxiety. And I believe, as a neuroscientist with 30 years of experience in the field, that this technology can be used to help retrain the brain. So our kind of mantra for this episode is neurons that fire together, wire together. And Marguerite, why don't you step in now and talk a little bit about how you think VR can help to retrain the brain and what you think the opportunities are, not only for mental health disorders like depression, but also addiction.
Yeah, well, you know, coming from the digital therapeutic space, working at Pear Therapeutics, where main technology was the phone, one of the biggest frustration in that space was that engagement. And the patients were trying to help with digital therapies. There's a reason we want to do that, is because it improves access. However, their main, you know, because of their psychological profile, they suffered from heavy emotional burden, cognitive burden, physical challenges, which make it hard for them to engage and to concentrate. So here comes VR and AR and the new spatial computing technologies that actually, that's the problem that they're solving here. They're helping deal with, you know, problems with executive function from the different, you know, mental health challenges that they're facing, whether it's treatment-resistant depression or PTSD or substance use disorder. And that's where I see the huge value of VR. And now you bring psychedelics, and it's a perfect storm. You know, psychedelic is also another big revolution I see in the mental health space. So you've got virtual reality, AR, and you've got psychedelics. And then you add on top of that mindfulness and all these third wave generation of cognitive behavioral therapy. the patients have to actually practice. They have to use it. And so you could have something that works in the clinical, you know, in the studies, but in practice, if they don't use it, it's not going to help them. So this is where we come in. And I've seen that. We see that over and over when we put patients in our headsets and how they immediately engage. And it's not just engagement. It's also, as you mentioned, it's how the VR technology affects your brain in terms of the reward systems as well. So it brings an element of pleasure that's, you know, oftentimes has been lost for these patients, and they, again, can enjoy an activity that happens to be what they need. So related to psychedelics, we know that for psychedelic therapy to work, preparation is essential. Preparation entails psychoeducation, which can be really dry. But in the VR, like in our experiences, you know, when you get people to actually interact with the different elements of the teachings in a different way, which is multimodal, they don't even realize that they're learning stuff. They get so excited about it.
I think our listeners can understand that, because I know in the way, how do we learn, right? How do we learn?
That's right.
It's easier to learn something that you like. When you like it, we're activating that rewarding pathway in the brain. And then the learning experience itself in the VR space, which Shell's going to talk to us about why game theory and that technology is so important here. But when you enjoy it, you learn it, you remember it. And that kind of functional neuroplasticity is, I think, why the VR is such a 1-2 punch with, even truly with or without a psychedelic medicine, which opens a window of neuroplasticity. You and I have discussed before the new science, neuroscience that's coming out around why psychedelics are so transformative. You learn better when you like what you're doing. That's just simple. And I think it's because it engages the parts of the brain to help direct the information flow. You know, we remember a loved one's face when they die because we have that emotional component. The VR helps to engage the person in the experience in a way that's user-friendly and that you enjoy. I know I experience it when I have used the technology from Firefly. I find myself really captured by it. And we've seen this with the patients. Looking at the work of psychedelics and this window of neuroplasticity, coming seminal studies from Robin Carhart-Harris and his fundamental work with psilocybin, looking at recent publications from the Hopkins group and Goldolin and her seminal studies on psychedelics reopening the period of social reward, and more recently, brilliant studies with ibogaine coming from Stanford and Dr. Nolan Williams, who show that traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder can be modified. How do you see VR technology working together with psychedelics?
Works together on so many levels. I think when we talk about the preparation phase for psychedelic-assisted therapy, it serves to prime the patients for altered state of consciousness. And it's a really very friendly way to get into that mode of being. And it also, before dosing, you know, like with our program with ibogaine with you, Dr. Mash, is, you know, in the morning of the dosing, they go into the headset, and that's a way for them to help them transition from real life, you know, the clinic room, and going to prepare them to go into their very deep experience, inward experience of the psychedelic. So that works that way. The other way it works, I already mentioned the psychoeducation piece, you know, where they need to learn and understand why it's going to benefit them on making it very engaging and multimodal. We know that mindfulness is another big component, learning to be present and learning to accept what's going to happen during the psychedelic journey. My 10 years working in the mindfulness space, we all know that mindfulness is an amazing tool for the brain and for self-regulation, you know, mood and everything. The problem is practice. So we're dealing here with patients who are in trouble with anxiety, sitting still. So it's really hard for them sometimes to even sit still for a minute doing a mindfulness practice. Now you put them in VR and there, well, they have the choice of keeping their eyes open or closed, but when they cannot close their eyes and go inward, then we have an avatar that guides them, you know, and it's like an anchor for them. They can latch on to that and they actually don't even feel that they are, quote, meditating, because it gives them something to do and to focus on, and also a mirror for their body. So if we do the body scan with them, for instance, we're gonna take them from the different parts of the body. It's not just a voice guiding them. They have that avatar and the light flowing through different parts. And that's just an example how we are able to keep them engaged and practicing what's going to benefit them, not just to prepare them for the journey, but after the journey as well. So now we go into the integration phase. So the integration phase we know is crucial for psychedelic assisted therapy, for them to sense of their insights, consolidate them, translate them into their real life and the behaviors they need to change, etc. So they have the opportunity with VR, continue to practice, do these mindfulness practices, the relaxation practices to help with anxieties about what may have come up. And then the other thing is the acceptance piece, which is about helping them deal with, you know, the avoidance around unpleasant or uncomfortable feelings. So helping them having the strength, the inner strength to deal with that is also important. Another piece of PAP, psychedelic assisted psychotherapy, or therapy is intention setting. So intention setting is another kind of dry exercise that can be really hard for patients. So what we do with VR is we, in our program, we precede that with, we have something called letting go of negativity, which is also embedded in the acceptance commitment therapy framework, which is helping them clear their mind in an embodied way from things that have gone in the way so far.
This is what derails patients in the
recovery. That's what derails patients, exactly.
Whether it's the deep, dark hole of depression or an intractable cycle of going back out to score dough.
Yes.
You can face sobriety, or you can go back in down that wormhole and go back out and say another line of cocaine, another vodka martini, another cigarette, you know. And so this is the way to get you back over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not just do it in your head, because that doesn't work.
If it doesn't work
in the head. With VR, we use metaphor, the power of embodied metaphor. So, you know, in the letting go of negativity, when they pick that piece of paper that has written on it fear, for instance, they crumple it and they throw it in the fire. That goes very deep in their gut, in their brain, and we know there's a connection there. Very powerful. They may not even realize what's happening, but it's doing its way, right? It's doing its work. Then we
practice makes perfect.
Exactly.
It's what your mother taught you, right? Practice makes
right.
Teachers tell you. Practice makes perfect. So in the VR space, you can practice and double down and triple down on the wiring when the
right
of neuroplasticity is wide open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a window. I think both the VR therapeutic experiences and the psychedelic journeys are providing a window, or, you know, it opens a window for the brain and the heart and all of it, the body, everything to change, to make radical changes. And then the challenge, of course, is to consolidate those changes.
Yeah.
VR can help with that. VR can help. It can be a, can provide continuity in the therapeutic experience from the integration, the pre-dosing, the integration, and then post-integration phase, which is, we know, is critical to prevent relapse prevention. Is and that the other thing in VR is we have the ability to capture information from the patient about their mental well-being. You know, we can ask them questions in a way that doesn't feel like just them answering questions. Is we bring metaphor in the asking the questions. So we can track how they're doing while they engage in something that's pleasurable to them. So they are more likely to sustain the aftercare and the post-integration care. And that's going to be critical during, we know that window, right? After they've detoxed, then the next 60 to 90 days are critical. So a lot to help them.
Thank you, Marguerite. That I think that really helps our listeners understand and actually be able to kind of feel the experience of being in the VR space. I want to turn now to Shell Mann, who is the co-founder of Firefly, and I'm going to ask him to talk a little bit now about why Firefly, why, what his mission is in the company, and what their expectation is for addressing serious mental health disabilities in our society today.
Firefly VR, why are game developers working medical software now? Well, our background is in creating delightful, engaging worlds and how you can piece things together in a way that allows an individual to really immerse themselves. Fast forward, we listen to psychiatrists, neuroscientists, MDs, professionals, because we didn't claim to be medical experts, at least until we got Marguerite to join us. And that allowed us to really inform our design by that listening process and clarifying and incorporating that into our products. The name Firefly was chosen because I see it as nature's way of lighting the dark. And that inspired me, and everybody likes fireflies. So that's where the name came from. And we're really delighted with the work we're doing with you, as well as others in the space.
What's different about your approach with VR?
Well, to start with, we began working about 7 years ago in the medical space and listened and learned how things such as key opinion leaders and patient reviews and, again, listening to feedback from people, case studies, and how to build out a product informed our design in the front end. And we built a clinically designed product. This is not designed for consumers, rather working with professionals. I think that separates us. That coupled with the fact that we really understand user experience transitions from one scene to a next that are fluid and smooth and professional looking, maybe not so academic looking, a little more game-like, have allowed us to create those engaging worlds. And the feedback has been very gratifying, whether it's from veterans to substance use patients.
You're a man of great compassion. As I've gotten to know you, you do a lot of work and you feel deeply passionate about addressing the pain and suffering in society. You talk a little bit about what drives you as an entrepreneur, who Shell Mann is.
Well, thank you. Yes, well, like many, there are members of my immediate family who struggle and have struggled mightily. And as a result, as a parent and also as a sibling, I've experienced that in firsthand. I wanted to take everything we had learned again, about this engagement and the delightfulness. And as Marguerite rightly noted, the fact that this immersive XR VR technology allows people to really escape the real world and go into another space. So I saw great potential to help potentially millions of people one day take advantage of the scalable digital technology. What we also know is mobile often only holds a person's attention for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's distracting. You can hear your phone ring, a kid walks across the room, whatever. When you're in the headset, you are there.
You are there. You are there.
And so you're right. This is my passion to take what I've learned in my career as a software executive and apply it to helping people. It's the best work, most passionate work I've ever done.
I had the opportunity to meet Shell, I guess, over a year now. Time flies, right? When you're busy and having fun working. And I was so impressed when I put the headset on and went in to see the product that he was developing called the Ketamine Sanctuary, that I couldn't believe my eyes, okay, to put it in terms. The experience in the space, the beauty of the experience, the feelings, the overwhelming feelings in my body, the sense of peace that I felt just in a short amount of time working in your Ketamine Sanctuary product was a wow moment for me. I became so committed, so interested. And as a neuroscientist with over 3 decades, I could see the opportunity. I could see how this could benefit people with treatment-resistant depression, which is what ketamine is being used for. Our listeners may know ketamine clinics are opening up, and ketamine has been approved. It is currently being used. It is already approved molecule that has been used in anesthesia for many decades, right? But seminal work coming from Yale, led by Dr. John Crystal and his colleagues and collaborators, and by many others in the field, have demonstrated that for many patients who don't respond to antidepressants, or maybe they worked for a time, but now they no longer work and are back into the dark hole of depression, can use ketamine, and those treatments can help to break them out of their intractable depression. And now here was the Ketamine Sanctuary, which to me was, I could just imagine how this would be a really important factor in ensuring success for patients. Talk a little bit about why you developed the Ketamine Sanctuary as one of your first products, although I know you have many coming down the pipeline and we can't get into all of them today. Talk a little bit about Ketamine Sanctuary.
So if you think about the world itself, the sanctuary, what is it? It's a beautiful cabin overlooking waterfalls and mountains with sunrises and sunsets out large windows. Immediately, you enter and you have a sense of gratified to see people's faces when they put the headset on and they go, and I have a lot of pictures of people in the headset. You were one of them. It was very gratifying because you understood it at a deep level. And then listening to the neuroscientists and figuring out what do we need to put into these experiences that will create the proper neuroplasticity. And I think when you go to the fireplace room, which has the multimodal experiences, an example is, for example, Marguerite brought up, 10 seconds. An example would be when you take an old memory that's maybe negative. Maybe you worry a lot. Maybe you ruminate or you have negative feelings, and you take that word and you crumple up the paper in VR and you throw it in a fire and you hear it go. So you get that multimodal experience that really cements in the subconscious mind this change agent. Those were the things we wanted to build into the sanctuary. Then we added particle effects and beautiful shader work and graphics. And that's where we're taking the sanctuary. It started with ketamine. Really delighted to have been working with you on Ibogaine and your team, and how we listened again to build something special. And now it's expanded to other uses.
And let's talk about that. You're currently working on an alcohol project with VR alone. You also have other development paths and collaborations in the works. Can you comment on a few of those?
Sure. Well, we're really honored and excited to be working with the Veterans Administration going into our second year, actually more than 2 years at this point, but we have three different CRADAs. CRADA stands for Cooperative Research and Development Agreement with the Veterans Administration in multiple locations. And just like your experience, Deborah, that's what we're hearing from the professionals we're working with. They're the principal investigators who are leading our CRADAs, as well as patients, substance use disorder patients who've said, I'm sleeping better now. Or comments back where they're in an episode and the patient will say, I just thought of my father because of this scene, and my father's been gone for 20 years, and they start crying.
Love it.
It's very powerful. And so that relationship with the VA has expanded to three areas: substance use disorder on the front end, relapse prevention, which does include alcoholism, but we found that a lot of substance use disorder patients are polysubstance users.
100%.
A lot of them have chronic pain. A lot of them are dealing with multiple indication or multiple issues that they have to address. We also have an exciting CRADA going right now with sleep. And we also know that's a key component to everything from suicide to PTSD and addressing concomitant pain.
And addiction.
Yes.
You disrupt the biorhythm, you disrupt the sleep cycle. All things are bad, neurochemically speaking.
Working with neuroscientists like you at hospitals and clinics, some currently using our product very effectively, others just starting. We have strong relations brewing with Johns Hopkins University, as well as Rochester Mayo, who is now a customer using our product. And it's exciting also to be dealing with Robin Carhart-Garris, as you mentioned, who's such a thought leader and are passionate about his work.
He is.
That informs our design. And as we go forward, we continue to iterate based on that feedback flow.
Yes, but you have the platform now. So you can take the VR technology that you have pioneered and advanced in specifically for mental health, and the sky's the limit. For our listeners, I wish we could take you right now inside the VR experience. I wish there was some way in a podcast that we could show you this and have you experience it. But I have to tell you, one thing that comes into my mind is if you saw the movie Avatar, it's like that. You're in this incredible, enchanted reality where you are safe, you're engaged, your attention is focused, as explained by Marguerite, with or without the psychedelic medicine as an adjuvant here, because I think VR alone, my opinion, VR alone has incredible power to start that window of neuroplasticity and to really bring about the cognitive behavioral change that people, clinicians like Marguerite, have spent many decades pioneering and advancing. But now, especially at a time where our society is rapidly speeding up, to spend a focused amount of time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in a VR headset could be many treatment episodes, Marguerite. What do you think about that? Face-to-face with a therapist. Talk to me.
Yeah, there's so many ways to use VR in a therapy setting. You know, it can be used during a therapy session, you know, in person. It can be used with telehealth. I see huge applications for the homework component in between sessions. And also helping scale. One of the big problems is access to mental health. Yeah, so what Firefly does, it helps therapists serve more patients by having Firefly take care of some of the things they don't need to do necessarily. And also holding the space between the therapeutic encounters with a therapist. So there's continuity in the care, the support, the engagement in all, because a lot of therapy for mental health is still anchored in cognitive behavioral therapy, which at its core is a lot about homework and practice. So that's where we can really help. We've also found that actually bringing Firefly into their therapeutic encounters with a patient can also help strengthen or kickstart their engagement with the patient, because the patient is able to experience things they may not be able to feel like comfortable sharing with a therapist without being immersed in that world. So we've had reports of therapists saying, you know, the patient was able to tell me things they never told me before, because they were, their defenses kind of came down, right? They were open, and we started having this conversation. So that's another piece. So it's really throughout the continuum of care, way to use Firefly is as to prepare patients for treatment, not just psychedelic treatment, but any other types of treatment. We're looking, for instance, at patients who are struggling with pre-obesity and that need help and that need to get into maybe they have pre-diabetes, you know, they need to get into a program, but they're not quite ready. We can help them with mindset. So we help them change their attitudes towards themselves, towards the treatment through these experiences in Firefly VR, through intention setting. And so it's really about mindset and behavior modification or change, facilitating.
21 million Americans each year are diagnosed with major depression. Estimated 8 to 9% of the population. Think of that. It's almost 1 in 10, right? And I'm certain, and you are probably as certain as I am, that many are not diagnosed. Many patients that are not accessing caregivers, haven't been diagnosed, are self-medicating with drugs and alcohol. And by the time they become dependent on the drugs and alcohol, the negative neuroplasticity sets in. So now we have the condition of depression, self-medication, and the brain being hijacked by drugs and alcohol. Shell, when you and I began to work, we thought about, that's where we both resonated around the idea that the VR could help with patients who have been detoxed from drugs and alcohol dependence with Ibogaine or with a standard of care in the hospital, a hospital-based detox. And then the VR, again, could help those patients. Because we know if you add in the addiction component to this, we're talking about a huge, huge, huge societal cost that's currently not being addressed.
We connected. We have personal stories. We're passionate about our work. I felt that passion for you. And I share that. Painful when you see loved ones who struggle. And you're like, I got to be a part of the solution. I've got to do something about this. And so that drove a lot of our initial thinking, but also because we didn't have that direct knowledge ourselves, we had to learn from experts. Now, working with your team as an example has been, I think, increased the power of our platform And when I say platform, if you think about the individual pieces like ritual breath, well, you can use that daily. And mindfulness techniques, everybody could get benefit from that, regardless of whether they're addicted or struggling with something else. And that's what became exciting. We started with addiction, and then we saw we've got a whole platform idea here, and that's what we've built out now.
And it's total wellness. You know, Marguerite talked about feelings and the gut. We know that the gut, you know, in Chinese medicine, the gut is, they think of the gut almost as a brain, right? And sure enough, the gut signals the hormones and the serotonin from the gut is extremely important in the brain. And we know that the microbiome can change up the brain. And we know that when you're an alcoholic, you've wrecked your microbiome. You probably wrecked your microbiome with other drugs. And for too long, and as a neuroscientist and an NIH-funded investigator working in my little silo, we failed, I think, in a big way, to not recognize that you can't talk about addiction without talking about serious mental health disabilities. You know, we wanted to separate them and not say, somebody's self-medicating here. So you've got to look at the underlying comorbidity. What are people dealing with? Trauma, depression, anxiety, attention deficit disorder. Shall we keep going down the DSM? Fine.
Yes.
Disability list, you know, they all light up the scoreboard.
And, you know, you think about the mindfulness piece alone. If you can't figure out by listening to your breathing or feeling your body that the mind and the body are connected, then mindfulness is an activity for you because it will help reinform. It did for me. It reinformed her thinking. I'm pleased to report Marguerite does mindfulness for our team and that she's great at it.
And I'm jealous about that. I'm jealous. I have shared with my listeners the loss of my father. My father died at 56, and he was a severe alcoholic who literally white knuckled sobriety, a brilliant man, a loving father, tried to pray his way out of alcohol use disorder. But he was self-medicating. And as a child, you know, we had no idea. There was no clue. There was no mental health. There was nobody to home to help. And addiction is a family disease, so it took its toll on all of us. But he had suffered a very severe trauma in his life. And I watched my father go through business stress, and that would trigger him to go out and have a drink. Can you imagine? Can I imagine? Can I see the power of the VR if he was able to use that to dial down the severe stress-related anxiety, that the only way he could medicate was by taking the car in the direction of a bar? Instead, he could have entered that space and been able to bring the pain signal down. I think about children, young adults who are right on the cusp of suicidality and serious depression in school. Some of those children are the children that make their way to drugs. And if we were able to bring your technology into the school system, because let's be frank, the school systems don't have the therapists, the guidance counselors, they're not able to do much. And so, what has been the solution for conduct disordered young people who are probably coming from the most severely dysfunctional home lives and acting out in school because they're desperate for help? What you're doing is really right now. It is revolutionary. It can help alleviate the suffering of so many in our society, whether they're, as I talk about, you know, young people on the trajectory to becoming an adult who are in high school today, who are faced with all kinds of existential issues because we're on this growth phase and information processing. Nobody's able to get off the grid. I'm extremely excited about what the two of you are doing and the whole team at Firefly. I know, I am confident that the technology that you are advancing is going to be a game changer. I have no doubt about it. I know that your company is working aggressively right now to raise funds. You're in funding round to get more people engaged to help you advance the pace of development and deployment of the VR technology. How do people learn more about your company, Shell? Can you direct the listeners to your website?
Sure. It's fireflyvr.com, and it shares our story. And we have been amazed with the, you know, you put things out in the universe and it starts coming back to you, all these different people. You just mentioned schools and the needs, you know, people who are saying, we want standard of care. I mean, just looking at psychologists right now, you get the best and the worst, right? What if you could deliver everybody consistent quality care? What if in the future you could include biosignals and it helps inform a patient or a provider or a payer that this is working and get that information? So that's the vision. And education, it absolutely could be one of our channels. So Firefly VR is the name of the company and our website, and we'd love to hear from people.
I know many families are desperate to get help for loved ones. Learn about this technology. Learn about their company. There will be products that will be coming down the pipeline that will be available to use now, soon, that you're deploying. I think the sky's the limit. Marguerite, do you want to give the listeners a last word?
We want to help the whole person. We don't want to just help a diagnosis, because that's very rare that a person is just depression or depressed. They usually have a whole bunch of things. You talked about them, you know, anxiety, depression, trauma, substance use disorder. And it's usually part of a whole constellation of challenges that they're facing. We have the opportunity with Firefly, because of the way we've built our product, to actually tailor very precisely to deliver the types of therapeutic experience that someone will need regardless of their makeup. That's definitely the path we are going toward or forward. And we have the ability in our content, the way we arrange our experiences in the program, it's all designed with that in mind. It's thinking about the whole person and not as if, oh, I've used the word patient, but it's more thinking about the person, you know, and leveraging their abilities, not just their symptoms. So their ability to heal. And that's what VR does. We tap into that, the ability to engage with stories.
One of the big topics in neuroscience and addiction is, why do some people become addicted and others can be exposed to drugs or alcohol and they don't? And there's this idea that there is a core of resilience right in our DNA, right in our genetics and epigenetics. And I think that the VR technology can help to engage not only the frontal lobes, but that resilience that's in our DNA that has been handed down from multi-generations, our parents and our grandparents. We inherit their experiences. Both of you, Shell Mann, Marguerite, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for helping to inform the listeners. Again, the company is called Firefly VR. Please go to the website and Google it. You'll be amazed at what you learn. Thank you all, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.